You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffiths.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Before we get into it, as we always do, if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and follow the podcast wherever you're listening to this episode from, and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at theplug.podcast. This week's guest is a man I spoke to probably 6 years ago promoting his second album. They've released their fourth album a few months ago. It's called Back to the Water Below. This week, I'm joined by Royal Blood frontman Mike Kerr. On the back of the album's release, which debuted in the UK at number one, their fourth straight number one album, Mike joined me on the podcast, actually backstage on the US tour that they're on right now, to talk all about the album and the success it's had in such a short amount of time. And we actually look back at that 2017 interview that we did. At the time, he was in Australia to promote How Do We Get So Dark, their second album, and he looked back at that time, both with the band's success and the heat they were experiencing at that time, and what was going on in his personal life. Royal Blood will also be returning to Australia for the first time since 2017, next month with a bunch of shows. For more details on tickets, head to frontiertouring.com. Let's get into the show. Here is Mike Kerr on The Plug Podcast. All right, welcome into the podcast, Royal Blood's Mike Kerr. Mike, thanks for coming on, man.
No sweat, man. Thanks for having me.
I understand you are in a dressing room at Soundcheck in, if my calculations are right, is it Oakland?
Yes.
Okay, nice. How's the tour going, man?
It's good. It's been multiple tours. So, this tour is of the West Coast of the US. So, we started last night in Los Angeles. And, so we had about 5 days off before this tour started. So, we've got a lot of shows to do, but it was a great start actually. Last night was really good.
Yeah, you mentioned you've had multiple stops because you guys recently supported Muse as well, didn't you? Or was that only in the UK?
So that we opened for Muse over the summer, and that was all over Europe and the UK.
Okay, nice. I always get different opinions of UK people of like if they like the US or not. It's either they really like it, or it's the worst place ever and the people are crazy there. What's your take on it?
Oh, I love America. Yeah, I think, it's so fucking massive. It's hard to kind of make any broad statements about it. Not only is it massive, it's just so diverse and so there's, multicultural really, like depending on where you are, you can get a completely different way of life. So yeah, it doesn't feel like you're touring the same country, really, if that makes sense.
Yeah, how long have you guys been on tour properly? Because obviously you had a bunch of shows before the new album as well.
How long were you on, sorry?
How long were you on tour beforehand? Because I know you had a bunch of shows lined up before the album came out in September.
Oh, so we started in April. April, I think.
Okay.
We did an East Coast. See, after the Muse thing, we did an East Coast tour of America, and then we did a UK tour, and then here we are now on this West Coast tour.
Yeah, well, belated congratulations on Back to the Water Below, my friend. Came out in September, number one in the UK. It's crazy. It's already been out for 2 months. How's it sitting with you now that it's been out for a few weeks? Obviously, the critical and commercial has been a massive success. How's it been sitting with you?
Great. Yeah. I think this record we were really excited about playing these tracks live, but if we felt a little bit held back about doing that until the record came out. So I think when it was finally released, it was kind of really liberated us with the live show. And I think we play about six, sometimes seven tracks off the record. So it's been a relief to kind of get it out there, honestly.
It's being touted as one of, if not the strongest Royal Blood albums. Did you have that expectation coming in? Did you feel that this was the best record to date?
Yeah, I think, ultimately we're just trying to get better. That's really what we're trying to do, and not for anyone else, just to impress each other and feel like we're moving forward as a band. And yeah, I think it's probably like the most eclectic record we've made. And yeah, we're super proud of it.
Yeah, it does feel like you've kind of like gone back to the roots and taken the best stuff out of the last few albums. Is that what you were aiming to do? Like, again, you said the word there, eclectic, which I absolutely agree with. Do you think there is
Yeah,
still kind of going
it's
back to the original stuff?
when we were making it, it was unclear what we were making at the time, because it's hard to it's easy now when you can hear the whole thing and you can see the full picture, but the order in which the songs were written and unveiling it, at the beginning, we weren't sure what kind of record we were really making. But all we knew is that for the first time, it was like we had all these different gears we could use, and there was a sense of kind of freedom really writing it, because we'd write a certain type of song and it wouldn't necessarily have any similarities to another. And I think we realized, actually, you know what, we can kind of let the songwriting make the decisions here and just pick the strongest songs, even if they're, of different genres or different influences. We didn't feel tied to making something like overly cohesive.
Yeah. Can that be a problem though when you're in the studio? Like, say if you write a really solid hard rock song and then maybe you churn out like a really good radio rock song, something that might sound a little bit bluesy. Do you give a shit when you're in the middle of doing that? Or do you just go, okay, this one is way too weird to what we've been doing over here. We need to reassess.
Yeah, it honestly just depends on how good we feel the song is. I think, like, for the last record we made, it was kind of the opposite. It was really about like making a soundtrack and making something that was really streamlined and you could enter a world. Whereas this one, yeah, it didn't feel driven by that at all. So, we didn't really give a shit. If two songs, kind of said, to answer your question
Well, that's good
bluntly.
because I said right before we started recording, I think the last time we spoke, you were in Australia promoting How Do We Get So Dark, which would have been 2017. And I remember at
Right.
the time, even like dealing with with publicists at the time, like there was a lot of heat on Royal Blood because the debut album had done so well. There was high hopes for album number two. I mean, first question there in hindsight, I mean, that was obviously 6 years ago. Did you feel the pressure at the time? Like album number two, there's always a weird stigma around a band or an artist releasing a second album when the first album has gotten so much heat. Did you feel that pressure back in 2017?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was my first experience of like that kind of success was just so out there and so beyond anything we thought would ever happen to us. So, yeah, I honestly felt like we were still cutting our teeth and working out who we were, and suddenly it felt like we had the whole world looking at us. And yeah, I just wasn't really equipped to kind of deal with that, but I'm really proud that we kind of got through it and we made a pretty good record, honestly. I think the kind of lifestyle I was living, the way I was living my life as well, wasn't really helping. And I think it, looking back, that kind of era of time caused me a lot of issues, but I learned a lot from it. And it was just a bit of a baptism of fire, honestly. And I think coming out the other end of that record and touring it and going into, making more music, I just felt a bit tougher as a musician, as a person, So I kind of, it was a, like most tough experiences in life, it was, I feel like it made me better.
When you say lifestyle, do you mean kind of like the cliche rock star life where you've got success with the first album, you're kind of enjoying the success a little bit? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes, I
Yeah.
am.
I think if I
Yeah,
remember that
it's
interview,
been.
you did show up and you're wearing sunglasses. You're like, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm pretty hungover right now. But you know
That
what? I
sounds about right, yeah.
think you're celebrating.
Yeah, you could call it that. Yeah.
And I got to say as well, like you, if you did feel the pressure at the time, you did a good job of hiding it, because I think what was really interesting about you guys at the time was the when I talked about how the publicists were all very much like, we've got a Royal Blood's the next big thing. You didn't come off like that at all. You came off as completely a humanized guy, where it's like, yeah, we're doing great. We're really enjoying ourselves. But there was no ego. There was no, we need this album to be the next big thing. So if you were feeling the pressure, I didn't notice at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the feeling of pressure was actually like making that record. I
Right,
think
okay.
once we'd made it and we were on the road, it was kind of cool because, as high pressure as some of the situations we end up in a live context, there's always a part of me that's like, this is what we do every day, all day. So it's, I can survive that, I feel. I love playing live, and that's all, honestly the reason I think we really like records is to get out there and play. So we don't really feel pressure in that world. Get nervous and get like anxious about big, playing big shows and stuff. But yeah, I never feel like that kind of toxic pressure.
Yeah, when did that start to calm down, both professionally and personally, when we spoke about the lifestyle thing there? Because Typhoon's kind of shook things up a little bit, and now with this last album, again, it's definitely a contender for the best album. With this album number four, do you still feel that external pressure, or is it much more now of what you and Ben want to produce? Fuck what everyone else is thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we always kind of done what we wanted to do. And I think there's no sort of running away from how difficult and how high pressure, making a record could be just for yourself, You put all the pressure is really coming from us ourselves. It's self-inflicted, really. Because we care and we want to make records that we can look back on when we're older and be stoked about still, and not have as kind of few regrets about as possible. And I think so over kind of in the middle of making Typhoons, I got sober, which was a big for me a big shift in it could kind of transform my whole life really, and I think. I began to change my relationship with the creative process and being in a band and how I viewed myself and how I viewed the music. And so I would say that making Typhoons was very transitional for me. And I think it kind of paved the way for making this record where I just didn't, it was really fun. It was really fun. I don't want to take away from the fact that you don't put all your all into it and kind of leave the process kind of pretty burnt out. But I felt much more equipped as a as a musician to kind of make that record, and it was really liberating to make.
But that's just experience too, as well, isn't it? Like Mike
It's
Kerr
just experience, yeah.
now, like your
There's
debut album
no.
was 2014. Like Mike Kerr now to 2014, you know a bit more now.
Yeah, you just and you get a bit older and you just kind of hopefully wise up to a few things and kind of get to know yourself a bit better. And yeah, I'm just I feel good about the fact that every time we make a record, I feel like I kind of feel more awake as the process goes on. And I feel like I don't leave the process like I never want to do that again. I always see a kind of a future. So and I think I just want to keep making music until that feeling goes away.
It's really interesting you mentioned before kind of how, like, not the idea that it wasn't fun making the record, but like you're kind of just rolling with it. A lot of bands seem to have adopted that in COVID when they're in that period where they couldn't tour, they couldn't do anything. So I was like, let's just make something. Like, let's not sit on it and think about it. Let's not spend 6 weeks on one song. Let's just write it. If we like it, if it sounds good, let's roll with it. Was that the approach you adopted with Back to the Water Below?
Definitely, definitely. I just feel like I guess a big part of Back to the Water Below was the piano, and it sitting at a piano and writing songs for me is a real. It always takes me back to how my relationship with music began. And that was my introduction. That was how, when I sort of truly fell in love with it. And I was probably 6 years old. And, listening to Queen and the Beatles and just admiring those songs and trying to become a part of them and learn them. And so even now, as a 33-year-old, I sit at the piano and I'm straight back to that moment again. And it just felt really inspiring to kind of write songs from the piano and from that place. And I'm just really stoked that we managed to make it a part of this band's world, rather than being some, I don't know, some side project or something weird or different. I'm really kind of happy that that's now a part of what we're doing.
In saying that as well, like, especially in the early days, Royal Blood were known as like, oh, the guy who like sings, bassist and drums, that's it. Was there ever temptations like, we want to try, bringing in different instruments, whether it's a piano, whether it's even something like horns. Did you and Ben have this struggle where it's like we want to, but we can't because people know us as this thing? Or was that never a thing?
It felt, I mean, that sense of limitation is always the kind of, for us, the thing that really served us in the beginning and actually can still serve us now. I think everyone knows that limitation is great for creativity, and we're very strict about that, specifically on the first record. But I think there was a point where it felt like there was much less to discover with using that principle. And Typhoons kind of just was like, what happens if we kind of throw away that rule we've made for ourselves? So now it feels like, kind of what I was saying earlier, it feels like we can do both. We can have songs that have layers and extra instrumentation, but we also have this two-piece thing that we can happily go back to. So having that those options is really fun and really liberating.
I mean, it's crazy to think, like, I just realized we're the same age. I'm 33 as well. Royal Blood would have come out when you were just turned 24. About to turn 24.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, we think about the relationship you and Ben have. Obviously, you've been friends for a very long time. Has that changed the dynamic at all? Like, talking about the different instruments you want to bring to the group, talk about the fact that you got sober. Like, I mean, I ask this question because album number 4 seems to be possibly your strongest. So it's interesting how this has evolved into some of your best music yet. How has that dynamic changed within you and Ben, just as friends?
I think our friendship and our musical relationship has just become more refined, honestly. I think we have, before we even started the band, we had the foundation of a great friendship, and that's what the band's built on. And we've spent more time together than anyone may spend in their entire lives. So I think here he is, Ben. So I was just bigging you up.
You're on a podcast right
Yeah,
now. Hey, Ben.
you're on a podcast.
Oh. You know what? This was sold as just Mike. Now I can sell it as the band. This is great.
I was just saying how close we are, even though I've made him leave the room now.
Has he actually left?
He's gone, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. I did see an interview recently where you kind of said the second you and Ben kind of lose that creative ambition, or are in a studio and not sure where you're going with it, is the second that you'll take a break. Do you feel you're close to that at all? I mean, again, like I said, I think back to that 2017 interview. You were touring constantly. There were no signs of slowing down. Typhoons came out a few years later. Now this album. Do you feel you're at that stage at all? Or because, again, with how great this album has been, that you're just tapping into something new all over again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel close to slowing down at the minute, but it's so hard to say until you get to the end of the tour and you go back home and pick up a guitar again. It's so hard to know. And I think Yeah, there can be periods of time where nothing's coming, and then, like for me, I just need that eureka moment. I need that one song that kind of points the way and kind of reminds us of kind of why we do this, and kind of gets us excited and inspired again. I think once you get that track, once you get that song, it's like you're straight back on it. It becomes quite addictive, honestly. You get such a buzz off it.
Has that happened in the past where maybe you and Ben have agreed to take some time off and then something happens, you're like, fuck that, back in the studio?
Honestly, we've never agreed to take time off. We've
Wow.
never, I mean, we sort of had two, from memory, it's always been like 2 weeks off at the end of a album tour, and then we kind of just get back to it. But that's not to say that the pace hasn't slowed down, and there hasn't been periods where we felt uninspired. But we've never, since we've started, we've never stopped, honestly.
Granted
I
that
don't think I'd
this,
know how to stop at this
yeah.
stage.
So, how much time, like, so generally in the past, how long have you guys had off between, let's say, album, tour, break, start writing again?
Oh, like 2 weeks probably.
Wow.
Yeah, but writing feels like a part of my life as well, you know? I kind of almost treat it like a 9 to 5, really, and kind of include it as part of my routine, you know? So, and I love it, so it doesn't feel like I'm dragging myself into something I don't want to do necessarily.
I mean, granted, Back to the Water Below is just over 2 months old. Have you guys spoken about, thought about rough ideas of it now, but number five, or are you
Oh
just,
yeah. Yeah,
oh
yeah,
wow,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. Yeah. That kind of stuff that for me like starts permeating about 2 weeks after the record's made. I just 'cause it you I mean when you're done, you're like, what's next? What are we gonna do now? You know, there's a weird feeling of like starting again. But yeah, I'm always thinking about it. I mean, one thing I have noticed though is that it's very easy to fool yourself in thinking you have a concrete direction or idea. And that's almost like your ego saying, here's what where we should go, what we should do. And then you actually begin the process and the songs are like, no, we're gonna do something completely different. Like I think on this record, like I just realized that there's your ideas and then there's the song's ideas. And the songs are in charge, you know.
I mean, without giving too much away, and granted, it's very early days, the vibe you're going with this new material, do you think it's going to be harder? Do you want to pull it back a bit, or is it kind of like the extension of Back to the
So
Below?
I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't possibly say this early.
I have to mention as well, I'm in Sydney right now. You guys will be in Australia
Nice.
in a matter of weeks, man.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you will have been back since 2017?
Yeah,
Because
we
of
haven't been
COVID,
in
right? Like
ages,
COVID,
man.
you were
It's,
screwed.
yeah, we couldn't get over for the last record, so yeah, we skipped out a whole album. So yeah, we really can't wait to come back. We always have an amazing time in Australia.
Yeah, and you get the Australian tour, and then I imagine you at least get Christmas and New Year's off to yourself.
Yeah, I think we finished day before Christmas Eve, so we're kind of hard out right until the end.
And is 2024 looking more like heavy touring again?
Yeah, we've got some, we're going to South America, and then there's some plans in the summer, which I probably shouldn't talk about. But yeah, I think we're going to be touring till kind of end of the summer next year.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you taking the time, especially that you're hours away from stage.
No
Congrats
sweat,
on the album
man.
again, man.
Thanks.
We'll talk
Sounds
soon.
good, man. Take care.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Bye.
To watch full episodes of The Plug Podcast, head over to the official YouTube page at theplug.podcast and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date with all of the video content. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at theplug.podcast for all episode announces, teasers, and giveaways.